need of repair, absolutely. I'm sorry, they're in need of replacement as opposed to repair. We do repair them as we go. It gets to the point where they warrant replacement, no different than your opening comments with regards to a truck. You put so much money into it, and at a certain point, it's not worth it to keep putting money into these pieces of equipment, so they're slated for repair. Sorry, replacement.
I got you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
Great. Councillor Anderson.
And if you we generate revenues from this, correct?
Through the chair, our memberships alone are in the $450,000 a year area.
Okay, so if they don't have proper equipment or up-to-date equipment, that membership could...
Slide.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any further? On this, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that motion is carried. All right, Councillor Neal.
So I'm going to move that all the furniture budgets be cut by 50%.
50-50. Seconded by Councillor Traill. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal?
Well, if you go through each line in each category, I mean, it sort of wears you out after a while trying to look at what each department appears to be spending, what they've spent in previous years, but I think, there seems to be a gap, a fairly significant gap at times between what's been spent and what's said is needed. I think sometimes it's being put in there as a placeholder. So anyway, I just, I don't know what, I asked Mr. Pinner, if that could be done on a global basis, where we just look at it globally, but he said that won't really work. So that's my sort of suggestion to, as opposed to trying to go through each department and, excuse me, and then if somebody really has a need that isn't being met, I'm sure that could be accommodated somehow within their budget. So that's all. Thanks.
Right. Do we have a second?
Through the chair, just so council is aware, I will not be able to give a definitive number as to what this impact will be at the moment because I'll have to go through all the line by line. So I will have that number for Monday as far as what the savings are if this goes through. To Councillor Neal's comment about global budgeting, one of the things is reasons why that would not be feasible is because of the fact that for province of Ontario, as well as our financial statements, we do need to show the costs for each segment, so general government, transportation, and whatnot. So we try not to have global budgets as much as we can because of the fact that we'll actually add administrative time to split that out for our reporting purposes to the province. But as far as the reduction of 50%, we will have that number by Monday.
All right. Further questions, comments? Mr. Penn, your question, could you set up, so the challenge with furniture is it's a lumpy expense. Is it possible to set up a reserve by department? So we carry these forward. Councillor Neal's correct. Councillor Traill pointed out in my office, same thing, it's right across municipality where we have these placeholders, as opposed to a placeholder, if X number of dollars were going into a reserve, that when you did need to purchase furniture, it was there. Is that doable?
Through you, yes. And actually, an annual contribution on a global scale would be feasible. And then we could kind of do that as how we do certain other capital items. So that could work.
Okay, and you could get back to us at some point in the future. Okay, so we're going to find out on Monday if 50% is doable or not. We're going to find out on Monday. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Traill.
Okay, so now for something completely different. I'm going to move that we hire 2 firefighters commencing this summer.
Okay, so hire 2 full-time firefighters?
2 full-time firefighters, but that would be prorated given that the summer we're well through the fiscal year at that point.
Do we have a seconder? Councilor Trail, I don't see a seconder.
Would you care to cede the chair?
No.
I'm sure Councilor Neal would love to chair
so
right now.
So you know what, but I mean, to be curious to hear from the, why don't you ask, instead of making a motion, why don't you ask the chief, because you can ask questions, why don't
sure.
you ask the chief what the impact and if that's doable and if it's helpful?
Well, I do. I mean, I have some specific questions, too, regarding, so to the chief, then, through the chair, is it not true that out of the 120 volunteers that you needed to hire since 2015, you've only been able to hire 70?
Through the chair, well, I'm not sure where the 120 comes from, Councillor Trail. We, for years, it's been 25 per station, so that's 125. I don't have the exact list right now, but we're probably in around pretty close to 95 to 100 currently staffed, and we've just done a recruitment, and we've got 20 new volunteers that have just started training. So that should be bringing us back up close to the 120, 125. I'm not sure where the 70 is coming from.
Okay, so it's my understanding from the firefighters that only 70 have been hired at this point, but we can move on. My question to you through the chair, is it also not true that double hatters that were referred to by Councillor Anderson can only work 7 days per month as per the FFPA guidelines? So that does limit us in being able to rely on double hatters to only 7 days per month. Is that not true?
Through the chair, I have not heard that.
Okay, well, what could perhaps you could report back to council with that, because I understand it's in the FFPA guidelines. So I'll just give that as direction.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. Where do we are with respect to the master fire plan and how many hires it calls for us to be at currently pursuant to that plan? How many full-time were we supposed to hire?
Through the chair, well, if we were to have followed the plan since it came in 14, we should be at 60, I believe, career and an additional, two additional training and two an additional prevention. So that's roughly, what, 8, I believe, but I'd have to confirm.
Okay, so just to summarize then, so we're supposed to have hired 8 by now, and we haven't.
As I through the chair, I'd have to confirm that, but I believe it was 8. It might have been 10 or... I just have to come. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, so through the chair, one of the issues that came up to me over and over at the doors, especially door knocking in North Bowmanville, where we have a lot of new residents and a lot of subdivisions going in, especially with Soper Springs. Can you comment to the fact that they are concerned on response times, given the fact the only two stations currently are Bowmanville on the west side and Newcastle? So that's number one with respect to response times, and number two, can you comment on where we are with respect to having the full-time response for things like the 407 that are also going through? So the two issues I want you to speak to, if you don't mind, through the chair, are growth, population growth, and response times, and then also the 407 and response times.
Through the chair, so with growth to the north, as you know, we've got 3 now full-time stations across the lakeshore. That's Curtis, Bowmanville, and Newcastle. Our response model for the whole municipality is, depending on the type of the call, generally 1, 2, or 3, depending on the type of call, full-time trucks would respond, plus the required volunteer stations, which would be all 5 if needed. So I can't say that we've had any issues with responses. Certainly the further you go away from a fire station, the longer it takes to get there, but currently there's no issues. With respect to response to the 407, and during its development, we work closely with planning and engineering, and we have multiple different access points to get on to the 407 or to get north of the 407. And to this point, I would say we've had no real concerns or issues. Once it's completed, I guess we would have to reevaluate it. But I would parallel it to no different than how we access the 401. There's only several access points to the 401. which will be the same with the 407 multiple access points, whether it's 57, Charles, Regional Road 42, those types of access points.
Okay, now with respect to Station 5, what happens when you don't have enough volunteers to show up? And I'm speaking specifically to Station 5, because it's my understanding you often have shortages there.
Through the chair, yes, we have had some shortages primarily during the day, but as I said earlier, we compensate always with a full-time truck responding in either a truck from Orno or Curtis, depending on where it is in that area. As I said, we've just hired approximately 18 or 20 new recruits, and I think four or five of them will be filling in Station 5's area, so that should improve our response capabilities during the day.
So just to confirm then through the chair, though, at the end of the day, when they aren't there, we're using the full-timers to fill in those shortages, right?
Through the chair, a combination of our full-time and our volunteers, not just the full-time.
Thank you.
You know, I can't leave it alone. You started by saying now for something completely different, and I'm going to suggest it started out as a nice little story. Yeah, I know, long day.
So do I get a mulligan since I didn't get a seconder to put a motion on the floor?
We'll get back to you, Councillor, I'm sure. Councillor Anderson?
I have nothing at this.
Okay, Councillor Hooper?
Nothing. Thank you.
Councillor Jones?
I do have something, I think, under the clerk's department. I would move to remove the electronic message sign for the facility located at the Charles Road.
I thought that was yours. I thought that was your wish.
No, my sign.
I thought that was your sign. Not your sign, but your sign.
No, but I was talking about there was a sign supposed to go up on Highway 2.
Ah, right. Wrong sign.
Not paid by the taxpayer, by the way.
Wrong sign. Okay.
Wrong sign.
Questions? This would be on Charles Road.
Questions or comments on changing that? Councillor Neal?
I see it nice to have, but I don't know. I've never heard a resident, for example, complain about there not being a sign there. So.
Anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Just going to ask the clerk, through you to the clerk, if she would have some thoughts on that particular request.
Through the chair, this sign would be shared by, it's a shared facility between fire and municipal law enforcement. And while there haven't been comments necessarily to members of council, staff have heard several comments that they can't find the building. So the sign was to better articulate that by law enforcement and fire services are located at that facility. And we were looking for an electronic messaging similar to what's available at other facilities so that fire is able to communicate messages to the public of reminders for changing batteries, upcoming events, safety week, as well as municipal law enforcement messages. Get your roads, your cars off the road at nighttime, shovel your driveway or your sidewalk, etc. So that was the purpose of it.
I can just, Councillor Hooper, you stood up the floor.
Yeah, if I can just ask, add further to that, was there not another sign that was going to be placed along number 2 highway, I believe, somewhere along number 2? That was going to advertise Tule Park. I think that was it. Sorry, I don't know who to address that through. Sorry.
Through the chair to Councillor Hooper, Councillor Neal. Is the fact is, yes, we have that approved from last year's budget, but there was a private donation. We have one issue in terms of electrical source, and we were waiting for some information to come back from the development to the west so we know how to connect that sign. So we'll be meeting with the private sector, probably another month or two just to confirm their donation and everything like that. So hopefully it will go. So it's at Tule Mills Park, Councillor Hooper.
Okay, thank you. I think we just lost sound, too.
Anything further? Councillor Jones.
If I could just add to that, that the sign is $55,000, and although it would be something nice to have, but there is a lot of traffic along Trolls Road, but there's also, it's not one of the higher, busier areas of Curtis, and like I completely understand having the sign at the South Curtis Arena. Lots of people read that one. If there would be something on Highway 2, that might be a more appropriate place for it, but that, and there is a sign there already, although it's not as fancy as an electronic sign, that it is fairly well marked, that that's what the purpose of that building is.
Anything further?
Sorry, Council? Could the mover just repeat the motion again? I just didn't copy it down.
So that the sign for the shared bylaws fire on Trells Road, that's the amount of $55,000, be deleted.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Neal.
Can I have Councillor Jones move the rest of my motions? Okay. I'm going to move that the amount for to be contributed to the reserve for future firefighters be 125, not 250,000 for this year.
So essentially, we're staying with one firefighter, not two.
Well, I'm not quantifying them. I'm just saying we put 125 in last year, put 125 in this year. So that's all. If I can get a seconder, I'll speak to it.
Okay, so we'll look for a seconder and then just make sure that we clarify. I got Councillor Jones second again. So Councillor Neal, we 125 that we put in last year on an annual basis hires one firefighter. If we want to move to hiring two firefighters, we need to add another 125. So your intent is to stay with the funding which would fund one firefighter at this point?
Well, I'm going to ask if I could to refer to, there was a little table.
I think that's in your report on page...
Yeah, what page is it?
33? Yes, page 33 of the report.
So even if... there was another one that showed the additions to it. I recall there was a... And what it would look like in a couple of years, like... That's the one I'm looking for.
Through the chair, that would be on page 33 of your PDF or page 9 of the staffing report. I'll summarize it just by saying that in 2018, there was an opening balance of $124,557, and we put in $125,000, which brings us to $249,557. Budget this year would add another $250,000, which would bring us to $499,557. And then in 2020, if we were to follow this process, we would have 375, but we could take 500,000. Sorry, we could take 500,000 out of that to fund hiring the four. If you were to remove the 125, if you were to keep the contribution at 125, it would reduce our available balance, and we would be a year behind, basically.
No, but I'm looking for there was a little table that showed you, I thought, what was left at the end of the, I don't know, 2020 or... You don't know what I'm talking about. It was a little table form. That...
Yeah, through the chair, I do, and let me rephrase that. I think I do, and I think it's page 33 of the PDF that came with the budget report. I think the...
Page 33.
I think the...
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it.
I believe the clerk is putting that up right now, Councillor Neal. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I was looking at a different page 33, so. Well, I guess, I mean, it might take till 2021, that's all, to get up to the four, but.
So that's correct, Councillor. Essentially, we're hiring a firefighter this year without hiring. So by deleting the 125, we're deferring being able to hire the four guys by a year.
Right. But at the same time, you know, we should be looking at, you know, why we continue to send firefighters to nursing homes that have full-time medical staff on hand, you know, like, so I'd like to see us look at that maybe before we hire the four, so.
All right, questions or comments? I don't see any, so I would support leaving that money in. As we had noted, the municipality is growing. We are going to need to hire firefighters. This is a way of doing it a little bit at a time as opposed to having one big significant budget hit. We started this a few years back. I think it was a good decision then, and I think it's a good decision now. I'd hate to wake up one day and find out that we need a number of firefighters and have our budget constrained purely by fire services.
Recorded vote, please.
Recorded vote. The clerk suggests she was waiting for that request.
On the motion to keep the contribution at $125,000 for firefighters, Councillor Traill?
No.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper? Yes. Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Mayor Foster?
No. That motion carries. Oh, wait. No.
Loss on a tie.
Oh, sorry. I misheard that. It did lose on a tie. Councillor Anderson. Oh, no. Sorry. I'm wrong. It's just where Councillor Neal is sitting. Councillor Traill.
I'll move $250,000 to be allocated for future fire staffing.
So instead of 125 this year, moving it up to 250?
That's correct.
So doubling down. Okay, you're seconding that to Councillor Neal?
Also recorded vote.
All right. Questions or comments? No, mine. I think that staying the course is a good thing to do. So I think the 125 to go to zero was a bad plan, and I'm not sure about doubling it.
Sorry, I never moved 125 to go to zero. I moved 125 to stay at 125.
Zero additional this year.
Zero additional, yeah.
Madam Clerk, Councillor Neal asked for a recorded vote.
On the contribution of 250 for a full-time firefighter reserve.
Yeah, so that's 125 plus 125, so that would be 250 this year in addition to the existing 125. That's as clear as mud. No, I think the clerk thinks it's as clear as mud. Do you understand, Madam Clerk?
So long as the treasurer understands, I think we're good.
Well, counsel better. Councillor Hooper.
So we're voting on what's exactly up there, correct?
No, we would move, we had moved 2019 total contributions in 2019 would be 375.
That's not what's written there, though.
Am I correct, Councillor Traill?
That's not what she said, I don't believe. I think she said 250. I thought I heard.
$250,000.
But do you want to add, let's do it this way. Do you want to add an additional firefighter or just stay the course?
I have staying the course.
Okay, you don't want to add additional.
Okay. From what I understood, the original.
That's good. I've created the confusion. So you're moving that the chart in front of us be maintained. Okay, seconded by Councillor Neal, correct?
Yep.
All right.
On the recorded vote, Councillor Neal?
No.
Councillor Traill?
Yes.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
No.
Mayor Foster?
Yes. And that motion fails. Very astute, Councillor Neal. Very astute. Although we had Councillor Hooper and Councillor Anderson left. Okay, so that council knows you have voted us a conundrum. Councillor Neal's proposal was to not add. I'm going to work in words of firefighters, was to not add an additional firefighter. So, the 125 that has been going in would continue, and would not increase to 250. Councillor Trail's motion was to accept the plan, which was to add another 125. In other words, last year we pseudo-hired a firefighter. This year, we would pseudo-hire a firefighter. That motion also failed. So staff have neither direction to maintain the status quo, nor to move forward with it. So if your intention is to be able to hire firefighters sometime in the near future, we need to add something. If you don't believe we need firefighters sometime in the near future, then it would be to add less. Councillor Neal.
I'm going to move to table this to the council meeting.
All
we
right.
We can't.
So council doesn't care what we did at committee. It's not going to be a reconsideration because it's not a. Alrighty. So, Madam Clerk, the wording on the motion is to give us the wording of the motion.
That the matter of contributions for future hiring of full-time firefighters be tabled to council.
That's what you meant, right, Councillor?
Yep.
Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Jones. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Anderson.
Nope, nothing.
Councillor Hooper.
I'll take a mulligan here. I'm just going to go, I'll wait and come back.
All right, Councillor Jones.
I will also wait and come back.
All right, Councillor Neal.
So I'm going to move again back to the motion to delete the utility technician from engineering.
Okay, that is seconded by Councillor Hooper. Questions or comments? I see none. So I'd have the same comments that I had earlier, is that there has been a great deal of frustration in terms of getting things done. We are busy. So if you guys have heard, and it's not, and Mr. Allison, I will agree, it's not just Clarington, but sometimes our staff, I know Councillor Trail, you've had earfuls about this. It's not just our staff, but we're busy. And if we want to get things done, We either need bodies or we need consultants. Call the question. All in support of deleting that position? Opposed? Hey guys, I need hands. All in support. Put your hands up. Thank you. That motion carries. Councillor Trail.
Okay. Sorry, just 1 minute, please. Okay, so this is the last transfer to reserve, page 154. So I'll give everybody a chance to arrive there and make sure I wrote down my page numbers correctly. as well. So this is a Fleet OVHD. Okay. Right, yes. So near the bottom of the page, this is a reserve fund that's been at $134,500. And as with the other two that I've moved today, the 2017 and 18 budget, they remained stationary at $134,000. So my motion is that they not increase by $25,000.
Okay, do we have a seconder? Councillor Neal, thank you. Questions or comments? Mr. Pym?
Through the chair, I don't have any comments.
All right, call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Councillor Anderson? No. Oh, Councillor Hooper?
Councillor Neal took my mulligan.
Councillor Jones?
I'll pass on that one right now.
Councillor Neal?
Okay, so I have a motion on the to have the budgets for the library. This is operating budget for the library, museums at 2%.
All right, do we have a second for that? That is to cap the increase to 2%. Councillor Trail, thank you. Questions or comments?
I have a, sorry, and if I could, if I don't know if this is an amendment, but I'm also asking for a report from the CIO on whether the library should, or sorry, whether the museum should continue as a standalone entity.
So let's deal with that separately.
You want to deal with that separately?
Yeah, let's deal with that separately.
Yep, that makes sense. Can I move that right after, though, so I don't forget about it? I'll leave that with you.
Sure. Everybody else sure. All right. So on the on limiting the budget increases to 2% for the museum and the library, questions, comments? So the only comment to make, the museum is probably the largest ask. That's a 9% increase. But if you look at their past years, they didn't come to the municipality with any increases. If you spread it over the four-year term, it would work out to just in excess of 2%. You hate to punish the guys that you know that haven't come with asks. So they were stuck at they weren't stuck. They made no request. I believe it's 3 years in a row, and are making the request this year. I actually wouldn't mind some sort of policy moving forward, and we've got lots of time. We don't need to do it now, where you know the external agencies are encouraged not to ask if they don't need, but don't necessarily give up. Mr. Pym.
Through the chair, the budget policy, which is coming to council in May, does speak to that regard.
All right. So on that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that motion fails. Try half of that motion.
Okay, so I'll move that the library be 2%.
Okay, do we have a seconder for the library at 2%? Councillor Hooper? Questions or comments for the library at 2%? I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That's carried.
So I'll give you a motion on the museum to approve their increase, but at the same time request a report on from the CAO on whether the museum should continue as a standalone entity and report back to council, or sorry, report back to General Government Committee meeting in early May.
It's seconded by Councillor Trail.
Is that, you're frowning on that one.
So there's,
Mr. Chair.
I think it's a greater task than May. You know, we were talking about doing a cultural survey. Yeah, I've got Mr. Allison's report there.
Dust it off.
Right. right? So Councilor Anderson.
I was just wondering if we could include the Visual Arts Center as well in that. Councilor Neal?
Well, okay, I guess the thing is, there's already a report done in 2016 about the what's on the table. I'm just wondering if the Visual Arts Center is put into that, whether that'll sort of complicate things too much. So this actually looked at whether the museum board could amalgamate with the library board. It's already had a lot of work done on it. That's all. Like, why don't we see where that goes first, is what I'm saying. And, you know, there's been, I'm not, you know, telling any secrets if we say there's been a fair amount of upheaval at the museum over the last number of years, since dating back to when I was on the museum board in 2014. So I just worry sometimes if we overcomplicate it, whether we'll sort of lose sight of what really the problem issues are. The problem issues, in my mind, is not the Visual Arts Center. So I don't, why would we lump them in at this point? I'm suggesting maybe we just look at that for now. And like I said, there's already been a fair amount of work put into that. So I think we just need to maybe keep it focused on that at this point. But that's my thoughts. I don't know.
Still got the floor, Councillor Anderson.
I just thought they're all interchanged. They're all cultural, so we could just do them together instead of.
Right. Councilor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. And I've forgotten the gist of that report. Now, was that who was the cultural going to amalgamate with? I would assume the only other would be the library. Is that correct?
The report, that was Mr. Allison's report, correct? And the only reason I remember that is, as he told me, Councillor Neal's got a copy of it, but I think we're just looking at the two entities, correct?
That's correct, and it was done, I was the author of the report, but it was in response to direction from Council to look at the issue of governance of the museum. There was concern about attracting board members, so it was actually an overhaul of the a tweaking of the bylaw for the museum board, and at the same time it commented on the possibility of merging the museum board with the library board. What didn't happen at that time, and it would need to happen going forward, would be the engagement of both the museum board and the library board. Neither was consulted in advance of the preparation of that report. This came from the comments here came from myself. I did speak with some library staff and some municipal staff. In terms of the VAC, there has been a consideration of the proper way to deliver services through that entity in the past. I think as Mr. Caruana's department looked at it in the mid-90s, perhaps a few years later than that. But I think the conclusion was it's functioning well. There was no need to look at revisiting the governance. But certainly at this time, this was specific direction from Council to look at governance and possible ways of delivering differently the museum services.
All right, do we have further questions or comments? Second time around, Councillor Anderson?
Yep, thank you.
So hang on, seconded by Councillor Neal, all in support. Opposed, that's carried. Go ahead, Councillor
Anderson. So based on what Mr. Allison just said, if they weren't consulted, they would have to be consulted. So how difficult would it be to have consult all three and see if we could just amalgamate them and have one board?
By consulting, I basically mean just taking the ideas to the boards and asking for their input. I think it's just fair to solicit the input of the library board and the museum board before you go forward with anything like this.
Me. So it wouldn't, I don't see it as being difficult to do that with all three at the same time. Would that pose a problem?
Certainly, we can consult if there were synergies. I'm just candidly admitting that this report didn't look at efficiencies to be gained by bringing more into the loop. There were different ways of delivering the service over the last 20 years. The report, and I'll share this with all of council, provided some of the background information with regard to how these services were delivered in the past. I believe there used to be two separate museum entities. The Clark Museum was administered separately, but there hasn't been a major review of the service delivery. If council's direction is to bring in the VIC, that's certainly something that can be done.
I am of that opinion. I don't know if my colleagues share that. I think it would be prudent to do that, have a review. I guess it's long overdue.
I'd be friendly, Mr. Chair. Consider that friendly.
All right. So if you didn't hear, Councillor Neal is willing to entertain that in his motion, that the three entities be considered at the same time. Okay, further questions or comments on that? That'll be the Visual Arts Center, the museum, and the library. So the only question I'd have, Mr. Allison, is Councillor Neal was hoping for May. I'm a little concerned with the timeline.
A lot of the work has been done. It's reflected in this report, but I think if you're going to be fair to the entities that you're consulting with, you have to give them time to digest what we're proposing and provide their input. So May might be a little ambitious, but you know, even into June would probably be very doable. Sorry.
Councillor Neal, would you be willing to consider an extension to...
I think it's something we should have, like, is early June.
So prior to the recess?
Yeah. Prior to summer recess.
That's doable.
We added a couple of weeks. Okay, so we are, sorry, Councillor Neal, you've still got the floor. Unless you're done, then Councillor
Neal. I am concerned. Yeah, so if I could,
yeah,
I'll wrap
up.
I'll wrap up if nobody else has. Mr. Chair, I am concerned, like, there was a, is it, like, when we got the actual financial results from the museum, I'm concerned about the, you know, there was a, I think it was a $70,000 deficit. So that's, and I think they're getting near the end of exhausting any legacies or whatever they had, legacy funds. I'm sure those must be close to exhausted at this point. There's the Rinch Fund or something like that?
I can answer that, but we'd have to go on camera for me to indicate. The legacy funds are gone. They're gone.
So, all right, so they're all gone. So there's no, you know, so... This will shortly turn into in my mind, it'll become a fairly large deficit that's we're going to have to backstop. And, you know, I've got a lot of questions about whether you need to have a standalone building. I think hopefully the report will look at that, you know, just the physical idea of a museum itself. So there may be better ways of getting that out into the community other than having our own standalone Sarah Jane Williams Center. I sat on the library board. I used to work hard to try to help them raise some money and so on. And but like I said, it's been a continual history of unfortunately of upheaval. So and. I don't know how that deficit is going to go away for 2019. So I think we really need to pay some close attention to that one. So thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, the motion is coming forward that Councillor Neal's brought forward. Now, does that mean that if we support this, that thou shalt, that means that there will be a, just so I know that we're not support, you know, approving something that maybe no one will have an opportunity to say, no, we don't want it to amalgamate.
No, I think we're approving probably Mr. Allison yet, moving forward, bring a report to council.
Okay, and perfect. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
There would be options in that report, including status quo.
That would be my understanding of what council's directing staff to do here, explore this possibility in a little more detail, consult with the affected boards, and come back to council with recommendations or options to consider going forward.
All right. Anything further on the motion? So I'm not sure it's a bad thing to do. I'm not sure it needs to be threatening to any of the groups. I can tell you, Councillor Neal, since you and I were on the board, and I'm back on the board again, a lot of work has gone into getting that running smoothly again. So the board members, as well as the employees on that, have to give them all credit where credit is due, because there were some pretty rough waters for a while there. But if there's an easier, better, even if we had one board instead of three, or two instead of three, ways of streamlining, I think it's worthwhile taking a look at. So with that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Carry on. Councillor Anderson, you're good.
Good.
Councillor Hooper, you're good. Councillor Jones, you're good. Councillor Trail, you're good. Councillor Neal.
I'm only on page one. I said I've had a lot of time on last week, okay, in the bedroom office. It's been used well. So. Next, I'm going to try and skip some things here, so just so you know. Okay, so I'm going to move a motion that you can't overspend in a budget line without council approval. If I can get a second.
Are you seconding that, Councillor Jones? No? Councillor Trail?
Yes.
All right, it's on the floor.
So, and I'm not sort of totally wedded to how we deal with this in terms of, but again, I point out the instance of the councillor overspending their conference budget by a fair amount, 500%. How I'm just using that as a for instance, but how we go through these line by line binders and then we make some changes here and there, and yet there's no real mechanism to ensure that a whether it's a staff person or a councillor or a mayor or anybody doesn't overspend their particular budget line. That in this case it's kind of a personal thing, but I use the example of, let's say, and we haven't even gotten to the consulting yet, so for example, if a certain consulting budget item was deleted, there was nothing to stop that particular department head from still taking that money from elsewhere and hiring a consultant, even though council might have said no. So again, I'm not saying that would happen. I'm just using that as a for instance, where I think we need to establish some type of process, and I can't think of another one besides council approval where you want to overspend. So for example, if you've got $10,000 in furniture, and you need to spend another $5,000. Just come to council. That's all. Explain it. And but I don't know how else to deal with that one. So
through the chair, as worded, I see an issue, because if you're $2 over a line item, we'd be coming to council. That becomes difficult in the budget policy that was put forth and is coming back in May. There actually is a section in that policy that says that you are allowed within the sub-department level to adjust line items, but anything over that has to come back to council, I believe was the wording. So you still have control on the, the envelope, for example. That would, I think, help as far as controlling the overall cost without necessarily requiring all of department heads to come back every time we go over a dollar, because again, as I mentioned earlier, it is an estimate. And
so you're saying there's a policy coming forth?
Yes, through the chair. I brought it back in January or December, and it was referred to May 6th.
Okay, so I'll move a motion to refer this motion to that report.
Okay, so on the referral, thank you, Councillor Hooper. Questions or comments on the referral? Councillor Neal, with all due respect, this would grind the place to a halt. So as that's written, you know, I've got to wonder what Mr. Horvath's snow budget looks like without coming to council. Fire trucks could stop, snow plows could stop, tenders could stop. I appreciate your concern with the, you know, the overage from the one councillor. $4,000 overage is you know, impacting a $100 million process with that. I'd suggest, as we discussed, if you're worried about on the individual basis, reports coming back on council expenditures quarterly, which are publicized, probably a more effective way of dealing with that discrete item. But I, you know, particularly if you look at Mr. Horvath's budget, the overall his actuals to estimates are pretty good. You know, line by line, they're all over the place because you just can't. You know, whether it's postage, heat, electricity, there are just so many things that are impossible to predict. Having said that, I believe we were within 2% on expenditures. 18. We don't have the final numbers, but staff do a pretty good job of you know, on the global basis, figuring it out. On the referral, call the question, all in support, opposed, and that is carried. Councillor Neal.
So I'm going to move a motion on corporate services, page 30, to decrease capital to 80 grand from 85. Realize it's not a big issue, but. Corporate services of an admin other capital, page 30 of the binder. Second from the bottom there.
Through the chair, that would be account ending 7520, correct?
Yep.
Questions, comments? Mr. Penn, I think you're going to give us the same answer that you did before.
Actually, no, this will be slightly different. So this increase, and the Director of Corporate Services can correct me if I'm wrong, but part of this increase is usage of the of print shop materials being more in line with actuals. And the second portion, the second 5,000, is a photocopier to replace the print shop photocopier, which is on its last legs and is in needs of replacement.
But through the chair, I thought we had other sort of categories, though, for printers and photocopiers. Like
Ms. Moreno?
Through the chair, if I may, just to add to what the Director of Finance has commented, the title, actually, the object code is probably just a little misleading. That does say other capital, and that goes back to a historical reference where the photocopiers used to be either purchased or leased. They're all on a rental basis now where it's paid for by volume. So the Director of Finance is correct that it's based on a historical comparison of the budget to actual, that the actuals were historically a little bit higher than what was budgeted. It is based on a very detailed analysis that the purchasing department processes based on volume of copies, and that's how the charges are driven to the municipality. The invoices come through, and the actual budget is estimated to be about $80,000 based on the volume per copy, and the extra $5,000 is for, I believe it's an addition to the clerk's office for the print room.
This is under corporate services, though, right?
Through the chair, all of the leased photocopiers and printers go through corporate services. They're not broken up by department.
Okay, I'll withdraw that motion if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Same, just down on page 31 there, why is the, through the chair, why are we budgeting the bank service charges additional $10,500? They're third from the bottom.
Ms. Moreno?
Through the chair, then that again is a move over a historic basis over the last 3 years where it's been increasing gradually. We're moving to an all-electronic base for payroll. Prior to that, a lot or most of the timesheets would come in and be manually processed. So there is, it's in the cloud, so it is a subscription-based fee, and this would be pretty much the last move of the modules into that charge per on a subscription base. So it's been gradually increasing over the last couple of years.
Okay, then on page 32, there's 46,000 for IT consulting.
Okay, so let's deal with one at a time, Councilor. Are you with
I'm not moving a motion on that.
Okay. So on page 46?
Page
32.
It's IT consulting, 46,000.
Through, if I may, through the chair, that was introduced in the prior year with the requirement through the Durham Region Insurance Pool for cybersecurity risk insurance. And there were certain modules that had to be completed to satisfy the region in order to be able to get the insurance coverage. That was in part done last year. And in the upcoming year, there is a number of different modules that are required to be done, and every attempt will be made to have them done in-house as much as possible. But there's a business continuity plan that's required. There's also what they call a disaster recovery plan, which means if all the data was lost, how would you get back the business processes? Given the recommendation not to approve the additional position that was requested by corporate services for the security analyst, as was recommended through the IT strat plan, this was thought to be a way of getting the cybersecurity risk components completed without adding an additional body. There's also additional need, as you can imagine, with training in the cyber risk area, just to ensure that we're up to date with the risks. There also is contemplation of continued corporate training on a larger scale to make sure that the users are made aware of the risk that they pose to the overall integrity of the system. And they're doing that on top of keeping the lights on and all the projects that have been identified through the IT security strat plan that have been agreed to by the department heads.
So that 46,000 through the chair is just for a consultant for cybersecurity?
Through the chair, no, it's all related in, to cybersecurity, but some of it will be for training staff and some of it will be for completing modules like the disaster recovery plan.
I thought the training, though, we're supposed to do online training, and I mean, it's pretty simple. Open up an attachment from somebody that you don't know. You know, like.
Andy, you want to address that?
It's a little more complicated than that in terms of the training that's required. Sure, you can not open up any emails, never touch your computer, and we're all safe. But
it's the attachments that, you know, come from somebody from China, you know, like...
Yes, I stopped opening the I'm getting $2 million for free from Zimbabwe or Nigeria a couple years ago. But hackers are far more sophisticated than that now, and we just had a couple training sessions. It's truly remarkable how sophisticated the hacking systems can be, and so there needs to be a continual training. My personal view is, and it's the reason I didn't recommend the full-time position, the greatest risk are the users of the system, and no amount of infrastructure or personnel in the IT department is going to eliminate the greatest risk, which is user error. The hacks that we're familiar with in Ontario have all been as a result of employees letting people in. Were it so simple that you could just say, don't use the internet, it's a little more complicated than that. There's a number of different ways of hacking. So I think what Ms. Moreno and I agree on is that we need to continue to invest in training and educating our staff. And in fact, previous requirements of maintaining the insurance, cyber risk insurance, has been that we maintain a certain level of training for our staff.
So my next motion, Mr. Chair, will be to reduce IT hardware tax levy by $100,000.